So here are the 10 steps to get a good job as a dentist. First, you need to decide where you want to live. The basic rule of thumb, and this rule of thumb holds pretty well, is anywhere that dentists are more likely to want to live are more likely to be more competitive. So for instance, California, New York City, Colorado, Miami. Because they're such great places to live, so many dentists want to live there, it becomes more competitive. Assuming you don't have your heart set on living in one of these locations, the best way to start out as a dentist is often going to be finding a mid-sized city and finding a more suburban type area. So next, once you've decided on where you want to live, you want to apply to as many jobs as possible. Ideally, you want to interview at 4 to 5 different offices so that you can pick and choose between them. I definitely wouldn't just take the first offer. I would at least look around to see what else is available. Make sure that you're looking at all your options because you might be missing out on something that would have been a much better opportunity. Don't sign a non-compete agreement. Some employers will try to get you to sign an agreement in which you agree to not work as a dentist within a certain mile radius for a certain period of time. You do not want to sign one of these. You are going to want to be able to change jobs. And eventually you're going to want to buy your own dental practice. And if you have a non-compete agreement signed, it could potentially make it much more difficult to find a job. And when you go to try to buy a practice, if you're looking for financing, the banks are going to check to make sure that you don't have a non-compete agreement for that area. Because if you do, they probably will not give you the loan to buy that practice. Everything in an associate contract is negotiable. Do not sign it just because they say you have to. You can absolutely find associate jobs that do not require you to sign a non-compete agreement. Someday these types of non-compete agreements might be illegal. There's actually been some action going on in the government right now to try to make them illegal. However, right now they are still enforceable. And I have a friend who recently got sued by a DSO because he went to work for a different practice within his radius, and he had to settle on that lawsuit for $50,000. He had to pay $50,000 and go through this huge, lengthy process of litigation. I don't know how much he paid a lawyer, probably substantially more. Don't sign a non-compete agreement. Make sure the office you work at is going to be busy. This is by far the biggest complaint that I've heard from associate dentists, is they take a new job, but they are not busy enough to have a full schedule. Ideally, you would like to find a job where you're going to be the only dentist in the office, or where there was a dentist before you that was really busy and is leaving for some reason. You do not want to work at an office where there are already two other dentists working there and they're adding on a third dentist. Only take the job if you are replacing someone else. If you are an add-on person, they are going to try to build up your schedule over time, which means you are not going to be busy. I cannot tell you how many dentists I've heard make this mistake. They take this associate job and they say, well, the practice seemed busy, but there were already two other dentists working there and you're a third dentist. Those other dentists are not going to want to reduce their schedule just because you came in. So you come in, their schedules are full, yours is empty. If you're going to have to build up your own patient base, just go start your own practice. Why would you build up someone else's business? You want to come in and have a full schedule the first day that you're working. Before accepting the job, I would go and look at the computer system and look at the schedule and see, is this practice busy? Are there a lot of patients? Am I going to have plenty of work here at this practice? Especially if you are being paid on production, you want to make sure that your schedule is filled. If you have to take a job where you don't think you're going to be very busy, then you absolutely want to make sure that you're negotiating your daily minimum as high as possible. Which that brings us to our next section, negotiate your salary. The employers are going to try to get away with paying you as little as possible. They are posting a lower number or a lower percentage, expecting you to negotiate with them to get that number higher. They might advertise a certain number, hoping that some sucker is going to come in and work for that low amount, but in reality, they're prepared to pay more than what they're telling you. The standard pay for a dental associate is 35% of adjusted production, which means insurance has been taken into account. That's normal. If you are given a job offer and the number is substantially lower than that, then you need to make sure that you are negotiating to get it higher. but I'd be careful about signing a percentage of collections. First off, the collection number is always going to be lower than adjusted productions because there's a chance that some patients aren't going to pay. But even more worrisome than that, sometimes insurance companies will take 2 to 3 months to pay out their claims. And if you're working as an associate who's receiving collections, you might not get paid for the work you do for another 2 to 3 months. When you own your own practice, this is something that you have to deal with. But when you're working as an associate, this is not something you should have to worry about. Something to worry about when you're being paid on collections is oftentimes the employer is going to stop paying you after you leave. If a check from the insurance company comes in 2 to 3 months later for work that you did while you were at that office, your employer is supposed to give you that money. But the reality is because you've been gone for 2 to 3 months, they're probably not going to give it to you, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it other than take them to court. But are you really going to go to the trouble of hiring a lawyer and taking this company to court over a few thousand dollars? Probably not. So I would just make sure that you're getting paid a percentage of adjusted production, not collections. Next is to make sure you maximize your daily minimum. Most associate contracts are going to have some sort of percentage and some sort of daily minimum guarantee. This means that if there's a certain day where there are no patients on your schedule, you still get paid. Daily minimums are going to be extremely variable. I have heard from some dentists who are able to get daily minimums of more than $2,000 a day. To be clear, that is not very common. That's the exception. But it's possible, especially if they really need a dentist at their office. A more realistic number that you can aim for is probably around $1,000 per day. You're probably not going to see a daily minimum of $1,000 on the job listing. Of course, they're going to try to start you out at $600 or $700, but you need to come in and you need to negotiate to get that number as high as possible. Work 4 days per week. 4 days a week as a dentist is plenty of time to make a good income. You do not need to work that fifth day. In fact, you are going to need that fifth day for something else that we're going to talk about in point number 10. Fridays are usually the worst day to see patients. There are going to be a lot of cancellations, especially if the weather outside is nice. It's going to be a beautiful day. Your patients are going to cancel. They're going to go out and enjoy their Friday, and you're going to be stuck at the office with no patients, making no money. So it's not even worth being in the office on Fridays. Now, the job posting might say we're open 5 days a week, but remember, negotiate. If you come in and say, I'm only willing to work 4 days a week, that office is going to figure it out. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Just tell them when you start the job, I'm available to work Monday through Thursday. Don't agree to give more than 30 days notice. When you sign your contract, you're going to agree to give them a certain amount of notice before you leave. This gives them time to find another dentist to come in and replace you. Please do not make the mistake that I made at my first job. I signed a 90-day notice at the first office that I worked at. Once you turn in your notice, the dynamics at your job are likely to drastically change. Before, the management was trying to make you happy because they wanted you to stay. But once they know you're leaving, they no longer have any incentive to be accommodating. There are all sorts of things they can do, ranging from giving you less patients on the schedule, giving you less favorable hours, maybe not providing you with the materials that you like to use. When I turned in my notice, all of a sudden the more productive patients like crowns, etc., were being put on the other dentist's schedule. All the assistants were being assigned to work with him, and I was left doing the low value treatment with just one assistant by myself. Honestly, it was like torture having to come to this office after I had already turned in my notice. You want to make sure that you negotiate to where you don't have to give such a long notice. Ideally 15 or 30 days, no more than that. You want to job hop. On average, employees who change their job more often have a 30% higher income. Every time you get a new job, you have the option to negotiate better terms, better pay, better everything. When you're first starting out, you want to learn as much as possible. And if you're able to work in multiple different associate jobs before you buy your practice, you're going to have experience with different ways of running offices. Personally, I worked 3 different associate jobs before I bought my practice. One of the jobs was a job where I traveled around to 6 different offices. And in addition to that, I did some temp work where I worked at another 4 to 5 different offices during that first year. So by the time I bought my practice, I had been able to work in 14 to 15 different offices, and I was able to see how different offices were run, and I was able to come up with strategies of how I was going to run my office. So make sure when you're signing your associate job, keep in mind that you want to have the option to be able to work other jobs. So don't sign yourself up for non-compete agreements and long notices. At this stage in your career, you want to keep as many options open as possible. So do not sign things that close off doors. Finally, number 10, this is the most important point in this entire video. You want to think of your first job as a dentist simply as a tool to prepare you to become a practice owner. Associate dentists make on average $200,000 per year. This sounds like a lot of money at first, but once you factor in taxes and student loans, it's not going to be as much as you think. Owners, on the other hand, make an average of $350,000 a year. That's an extra $10,000 per month. Think about all of the things that you can buy with an extra $10,000 per month. The purpose of your initial job is not to make money so that you can buy a fancy car and inflate your lifestyle. There's going to be plenty of time for that later. The purpose of your first job is to prepare yourself to become a practice owner. Then, once you own your own practice, you're going to have enough money to pay off your student loans and buy a new car. You have two goals working at your first office. Number one, you want to get comfortable working fast. You want to get to where you can produce at least $4,000 to $5,000 a day while also doing hygiene checks. And number two, you want to save up $50,000 to $75,000. When you go to buy a dental practice, you're going to need financing. Luckily, dental practice loans generally don't require a down payment. However, the banks do often require you to have a certain amount of money saved up in an emergency fund, generally $50,000 to $75,000. This way, as you go through the process of buying the practice, if there is a transition period where you're not making money, you're going to have an emergency fund that you can live off of. Now, if you followed my advice of limiting your clinical time to 4 days a week, you now have a fifth day that you can focus on becoming a practice owner. Transitioning from being an associate to being an owner is going to take a lot of work. Finding the right practice to buy is going to take some work. I created a video listing 24 different ways that you can find dental practices for sale, and I will list that in the description. However, the first thing you can do is reach out to the practice brokers in your area. Make sure you reach out to every single practice broker in your area. You're going to have to search Google. You're going to have to talk to supply reps. You're going to have to call around to find who they are. You can't just reach out to one practice broker and say you're good, because each practice broker is going to have different practices listed for sale, and they only get paid when they sell a practice that they have in their books. So they're not going to refer you out to a different practice broker. This is why you have to make sure that you are in touch with multiple practice brokers. It's probably going to take you at least a year, if not more, to find a dental practice from the day you start looking. If your goal is to buy a practice a year to a year and a half out of school, which is what I recommend, then you're going to want to start looking right away. So in closing, here's my advice to new dentists starting out. Get a job at a corporate office like Aspen Dental. Get in, get a lot of experience, save up $50,000 to $75,000, and then get out and buy a practice. Start looking for practices right away, because it might take a while to find the right practice to buy. And finally, don't stress it too much. Your first job is probably not even going to last that long. You're going to have a lot of different jobs in your career. This one job is really not that big of a deal. Ultimately, life is a game that you just need to play to learn how to get better at.